Welcome to Sports Day. We'll get into all the day's sports news after we have a chat to the Australian cricket coach, Justin Langer. The one-day international and T20 squads are announced, and they are to play India here in Australia this summer. That's the great news. Sadly, we will have none of it here in Perth. But JL, how are you, mate? And nice to have you on the program.
Yeah, great talking to you guys. It's been a little while since England. I'm going, I've just come out of 4 weeks quarantine, so I'm feeling nice and fresh and ready to go for the summer.
So just take me through it. You had 5 to 6 weeks over there in England in a hub. You returned to Australia where you spent 2 weeks in a hotel in Adelaide in quarantine where you had, I believe, a number of COVID-19 tests. Then you return home to Western Australia for another 2 weeks of quarantine. Can you take me through the process?
Oh, not really. I wish I could, but I mean, that is the process. So there's plenty of sacrifices being made to keep the show on the road. And it's, you know, it's frustrating at times, no doubt about that. But, you know, I've got through it now and I'm really pumped about the summer. Although I did say that my dad, when I was in England, I was telling my dad about this and he said, "Oh, hey, son." I said, "Yeah, what is it, Dad?" He said, "You took the boys to Gallipoli in the Western Front the last 2 years, didn't you?" I go, "Yeah, I did." He said, "You should have taken them to Broome and Bali." I said, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "Well, mate, stop whinging. A lot of people made big sacrifices for our country. So stop your whinging. Get on with it." So I'd like to get more into it, but I'm not going to whinge for my dad's sake. And we get on with it so everyone can enjoy some cricket.
Righto. Speaking of getting on with it, though, there's going to be none, sadly, here in Western Australia. No test matches, no short-form games either internationally, which we're all, I think, craving. We want that entertainment played here, which means that you're going to have to spend some more time on the road. And you've assembled a squad today, and there's a couple of newcomers, or one particularly from Western Australia.
Yeah, look, it's a big trip. I leave on the 22nd of November. And I'll probably get back to Perth in April, I reckon. So I'm enjoying this time off at the moment, or time at home, that's for sure. But it's going to be a really testing summer for everyone. I think that not only for the fans and the people who miss out on cricket here in West Australia, and I know how much we love our cricket over here. I mean, the Perth Scorchers is almost an institution, isn't it? The Scorchers fans. And let's just pray that there's some opportunities for the Big Bash, because we certainly love our cricket here. Let's hope the borders soften a little bit so that can happen. And as for our team, yeah, we've named a really good team. We're playing good cricket. Our one-day cricket, we beat England in the last series. Our T20 cricket's been excellent. So I'm really looking forward to taking on India, who are becoming one of our biggest rivals.
Yeah, it's going to be a beautiful series. Now, Cameron Green, let's talk about him. I've been on his bandwagon for a long time since last year. I was a bit surprised he was included in this squad. I expect him to be included in any future test squad. But why into the one-day and T20 squad at this time, JL?
No, a couple of reasons, Hayes. One is that Mitch Marsh is out, and obviously Cameron Green and Moses and Reeks both come in as almost direct replacements for another medium pace all-rounder. And what we've found is that we've had to get better at our one-day cricket. And you look at some of the really good teams around the world, you know, they've usually got another a sixth and seventh bowling option. You think about Ben Stokes in England. They've got those extra, and we did that in England with Mitch Marsh, Marcus Stoinis and Glenn Maxwell. So it gave Finchie a few more options in the bowling department. So that's why we specifically picked Cameron Green, who's hopefully going to bowl in the next two Shield games, a few overs. Moses and Reeks has been bowling it, both in terrific form and a direct replacement for Mitch Marsh.
What I love about your squads, JL, is there's no free handouts to young players on potential. You've got to earn your spot, and the inclusion of Moses Henriques, as you mentioned, a player that's been through a bit, but his form last year solid, and he started this season really well too.
Yeah, he won the New South Wales Sheffield Shield Player of the Year last year. He captained the Sixers to a win. He's a terrific young bloke. He's a very, very good cricketer. So, and someone like Cameron Green, I remember playing county cricket all those years ago, and the English used to say, "Oh, you know, it's amazing in England, Australia, you always got this youth policy, you always pick young players." And I said, "Well, actually, we only pick young players if they're knocking the door down." And they were talking about the Ricky Pontings and the Damian Martins of the world. Well, Cameron Green is knocking the door down. He's young, but he's got 400s in eight or nine Sheffield Shield games, or 10 Sheffield Shield games. So he's got another one, 199 the other day. Started the season well. He's a terrific talent. You know, Greg Chappell's been telling me for 3 years he's the best young batting talent in Australia. I love his bowling. So, my gosh, he could be a superstar of the future.
A lot of these players have been obviously playing in the IPL. They come back and play this series. What about the Test series? Are they going to be underdone, or will they be right given potentially the lack of four-day cricket leading into that Test series?
Yeah, we've got some challenges, no doubt. I mean, one of the challenges is the guys who come back from the IPL, they'll go into quarantine, and we'll go. The guys who aren't in the IPL will go over to Sydney to meet them, and we literally play a one-day international the day after quarantine. So we haven't seen the guys for... we'll end up being 3 or 3.5 months or so, and we'll catch up on the morning of the one-day international. So there's a challenge in itself. And then a few weeks later, we play red ball cricket. But the guys we talk about, remember, are Pat Cummins, Josh Hazlewood, David Warner and Steve Smith. So all seasoned pros. They've been playing cricket. They're up and running. They know what to do. So that's less of a concern for me.
Now, looking ahead, we have a couple of tours scheduled. Now, whether we end up going to South Africa is probably still something that is up in the air from a South African cricket perspective. But if we head there in February, we've got, a Test series against New Zealand happening at the same time. And I know you're very strong in your comments when you've been away around having two squads in two different countries. It's certainly going to stretch us, isn't it?
Well, it is. It's going to stretch us for a number of reasons. One... And look, I've made my comments about it. I understand we're in a really unusual scenario around the world, in not just in sport, but you know, I'm one for one Australian cricket team, not two. We're one country, not two countries. But it's also going to stretch our Sheffield Shield competition at the end of the season. You know, we'll take extended squads to South Africa and New Zealand, so that takes probably 36 players out of the Sheffield Shield competition. So. It's not ideal, but we also understand that countries like New Zealand need us to go to New Zealand as much as we need India to come here, or England needed us to go to over there. So at the moment, we're trying to look after each other as best we can.
JL, around the world in world sport, all coaches coaches are being cut from their teams. What about you? What support staff will you have around you coming into these next series?
Yeah, we had a few redundancies early up. We've got to really tighten things up. I mean, there's not a, we know in AFL, obviously with my close links with the Eagles, we understand with the soft cap what's happening. We're seeing it in rugby. We're seeing it everywhere. We're going to have to. The difference for us at the moment, we still haven't played the season. So I'm expecting there's some big costs with playing all this cricket. We're on a nice edge that praying that India get out here. That's going to ease some of the pain for the economy of Australian cricket. But certainly we're keeping a really close eye on it, Hayes, because we won't be immune. We haven't been immune, and I assume we won't be immune in the future.
It's daunting, isn't it, really? I mean, when you look at Cricket Australia's announcement today and their annual results, they've delivered around $40 million in savings through their operational changes, which you've just spoken some of here on the show. But still a net deficit, JL, of $45.9 billion. Now, I know that that's a four-year cycle, and that's the projections, and it's driven by tour schedules. But, mate, that's a daunting number.
Oh, it sure is. I mean, and that's why I saw Richard Goyder on Saturday night, and you've just got to compliment, you know, the AFL and the NRL. You compliment Cricket Australia for getting the show on the road, because imagine the ramifications of AFL not playing this year, or the NRL and other sports. So again, we're not immune to it, Carl. It just goes to show how fickle all business is, and sports no different. So yeah, it's certainly sobering, and that's why everyone's working so hard and making the sacrifices that need to be made to ensure that we keep playing. And the other part of all this is it's not just the economics of it. We know the smiles that it puts on faces playing sport. Again, it doesn't matter if it's footy or rugby or tennis or cricket. It's really important for our community. I mean, people love their sport. And that's why it's important we do everything possible with the governments, with the governing bodies, with the biosecurity, the doctors, that we do everything possible to get sport played, because for the mental health of not just our players, but for all of our community, it's really important that sport's being played.
Nice to chat, mate. Take care. Look after yourself. Enjoy your next 3 weeks while you've got freedom. And thanks very much for talking to us tonight.
Pleasure, guys. Speak to you soon.
Justin Langer, our number is 922-11882. Made some very, very strong points there. We've got a $100 Tap Touch voucher. Please gamble responsibly. And we've also got a double pass to the Beer and Beef Festival. It's on this Sunday at the Burswood Parklands. We want to hear from you, your interaction next, 922-11882, and we'll talk about what happened in the rest of sport today next here on Sport.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed, and the Bottle-O. For your online liquor shopping, visit shopmylocal.com.au.
Welcome back to Sports Day. The phones are quiet. 922-11882. I just wonder, are you satisfied as a sports lover that the sacrifices that have been made by our athletes, whether they be cricketers, the netballers, the rugby league players, the AFL players, we've now got our women's Big Bash team in action. We don't know what the future for a couple of the other codes are, but we certainly know that our Sheffield Shield team is over there strutting their stuff in South Australia, and their next match will get underway against Tasmania. Are you happy that you've had some sport to get you through what for some has been tough, and how you're feeling about the sacrifices that sports people have made, just remembering that it is their income. And when you think of the, as I spoke about with Justin Langer, the significance of the loss that's been made in Australian cricket, just a tad under $46 million. It's a big number, Paul Hazelby, as we continue the discussion here on Sports Day.
Yeah, it is. Look, I'm satisfied. I'm grateful for the sacrifices that have been made by many of our athletes across all the different sports. I love sport. I want to watch it as well. But I think there are many out there that need to put in perspective as well what's going on from a worldwide point of view. We know the Victorians have been doing it pretty tough over there as well. For us, not too much has changed, but can't wait, Carl, for the day that it gets back to normal. And I'm sure all of the athletes would love to come back and play in front of big fans and their family here in the West as well. But it is a big loss, isn't it, for cricket? And I don't think that's going to be the end of it. I think it's going to be a challenging time across this Indian series. They'll spend more money to get it up, and they still have some broadcast issues as well with Channel 7 and the like on the Big Bash and other parts of the summer. But I do like the inclusion of Cam Green. I was a bit surprised into this squad because he hasn't really dominated the one-day internationals and the T20s, but I think it gives him a real opportunity now to spend some time to get used to it, and it's good to see that Justin Langer really showed his hand to say that if this guy keeps making runs, it won't be too long until he does get an opportunity at test level potentially.
All right, let's have a chat to our audience. Now we've got the $100 Tab Touch voucher to give away. We've also got a double pass to the Beer and Beef Festival. This is brilliant, this is. Showcasing WA's and our country's best beers, and they pair them off with beef dishes from Perth's top chefs, restaurants, barbecue masters. There's great music all day, all night. There's outdoor games, carnival rides. There's Sideshow Alley. The Bucking Bull's always good. Hayes loves the Bucking Bull. Let's go to Sam in Church. G'day, Sam.
G'day, how you going?
Not bad.
I hope I can articulate what I want to say here. Look, I've been really happy that sports been available to watch, and that's a credit to everyone, the administrators, the players, governments, etc., everyone involved. In terms of respecting or appreciative of the sacrifices the sports people have made, like, for me, it's pretty graduated. I respect the netballers a hell of a lot more than I would the footballers, and I say that in the context that they have more to give up, in the context that they've got jobs to do and they don't earn as much as the footy players, because ultimately these people who are doing it are not making sacrifices for us. We're a byproduct. They're making it because they've got to earn an income, but it's the sports people who really don't earn hundreds of thousands of dollars that have sacrificed other things, I think, deserve the bigger credit.
Yeah, it's a great call, Sam. And I think if you look across the different sports, the AFL players, they were reluctant, weren't they, to go into hubs at the start. They didn't want to. Many of those Victorian players, particularly from Richmond, didn't want to go into hubs. In the end, they had zero choice. The West Coast Eagles at the start were reluctant to go in for a period of time. The Fremantle Dockers and other clubs, obviously, once they heard that they would be going, they took it on their chin and they did it. And most part, those teams that did accept it actually went pretty well across the season. But you make a very good point about netball. They just got up, they got it done, and now we have our basketballers doing it. The Sheffield Shield guys, well, they're quite used to spending a lot of time away from their families with tours and teams that go overseas as well. But well called.
Sam, you still there?
Yep.
Do you want the $100 Tab Touch voucher, or do you want to go along to the Beer and Beef Festival Sunday through the weekend there at Burswood Parklands, mate? Your choice.
Listen, I haven't actually got... I don't bet, so I might as well take the second one.
Right, eh? No worries. We'll stay online, mate. We'll get your details and we'll get you the tickets to that, and go and enjoy that, mate. Good on you. Thanks for kicking us off. For those that do maybe like to have a flutter, or maybe once a year on the Melbourne Cup, it's always comes in handy at this time of the year. So Sam of Churchlands has given his view on that. Hayes, there's plenty of other news bubbling around that we haven't spoken about, and so much in the footy world. And this morning Kim Hagdorn was talking about North Melbourne going to Tassie. Well, now they've selected a group of people that is going to employ their new coach.
Yeah, they do. Some of those guys that were on the panel last year get another chance, which was quite interesting given that the appointment that they made didn't work out in a short space of time. But Paul Roos, the big name on the panel, that's been floated around for a while now. And Ross Lyon today, he officially ruled himself out of that position, so won't be the coach of North Melbourne. I reckon he's enjoying his life in the media, Carl, after spending 10-plus years in the coaching world. It's tough. There's a lot of pressure and scrutiny that comes with that, but he has ruled himself out of that job. I'm ruling myself out, absolutely.
No, are you enjoying it more? Are you enjoying it more in the media world than you were as a coach?
Well, I've been here now for 4 years. I only coached for 3 years, and I can say it is a lot easier. And life at home, particularly, is a lot better. And we've got another best and fairest result, Carl. And would you believe another first-timer? Cameron Guthrie has won the award at Geelong. He beat Tom Hawkins, Mark Blixarves, Paddy Dangerfield, and Mitch Duncan rounded out the top five. So there you go.
Yeah, an All-Australian, of course, he was this year. So well-deserved. Gary in Cardinia joins us. G'day, Gaz.
Yeah, good afternoon. I'd just like to make the point that I think overall, I think the best cricketers, like, for example, Pat Cummings, $5 million. Yes, he is the fastest bowler and best bowler they recognise the world number one, but $5 million, the Australian Prime Minister doesn't get $5 million. Also, golf. Sure, it's a hard game. Never played it. You know why I didn't play golf? Because every time I played golf, I used to wear two pairs of trousers. And whoever I played against said, why you got two pairs of trousers on? I said, because I'm always getting a hole in one.
Gary.
Well,
very good, Gary. I like it. That was quite good for you. Are you still there?
I'm still there.
Yeah, that was a good joke. I like
it. Oh, yeah. I got a million of them. I don't drink and drive anymore, Carl. I was spilling too much. I pull over. I do.
Good on you, guys. Thanks for your call.
Like Pat Cummings, great bowler that he is. World number one. That's $5 million.
It's a lot of money, and I understand. Look, it's nothing. It fades into insignificance, though, when you talk about, say, world soccer and those that are involved in the NBA and American baseball. I mean, it's just incredible. You know, there's people there that are earning $250,000-$300,000 a week, which is just another world. It's just ridiculous. You can't say really that even our best paid Australian sports star is actually getting paid at the level of most of the others around the world. But I understand your point. Sam Mitchell's got a new job, head of development of the Hawks, and Chris Newman. They've got Brennan Bolton, Craig McRae. He'll also coach the Box Hill. Now, the interesting and most significant move for the AFL on the East Coast, Hayes, is that they're going to have a 22-team competition that's going to run all the way up the East Coast. Just your thoughts on that before we go to the break. Carlton are going to field a standalone team.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Sam Mitchell to coach the Box Hill Hawks there in 2021. So continuing on his development, how long until he gets the top job? I might have thought he could have been a chance for North Melbourne, but I think he wants to do the time and take over the Hawthorn Football Club. But if you go through the teams, Aspley, Brisbane, Box Hill, Carlton, Casey, Coburg, Collingwood, Essendon, Footscray, Frankston, Geelong, Gold Coast, Giants, Northern Bullouts, well, that would be Carlton, North Melbourne, Port Melbourne, Richmond, Sandringham, Southport, Sydney Swans, Werribee and Williamstown. It won't be Carlton. It'll be Northern Bullouts standalone team as well. It's going to be a super competition, but will it disadvantage our teams here in the West? That's what I want to know. Anyone passionate about that for our listeners tonight? Does it affect the West Coast Eagles and Fremantle Dockers' chances? Because going back, everybody wanted their own standalone team, but now they have this super competition, which may attract some of the very best players from the Waffle or the Sandful to go and showcase their talents in front of so many different clubs.
922-1882 is our number. The Wallabies have named a couple of debutants for their starting 15 for the big test at ANZ Stadium, the decider. Noah Lolesio and Ira Simone are the two players, and there's a couple of others, Tate McDermott and Fraser McGrath. We will have a chat to the Wallabies defence coach shortly, Matt Taylor, who will join us from the East Coast. Looking forward to having a yak to him, but we'll clear a commitment. On the other side, more of your calls and that $100 Tab Touch voucher to give away. Please gamble responsibly.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed, and the Bottle-O. For your online liquor shopping, visit shopmylocal.com.au.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Let's get to the calls. Marcus joins us in Como. G'day, Marcus.
Hey, boys. Just two quick notes on free agency. Just with the Doggies, I think they need another forward to help Bruce. I don't think he should be the number one option. Just all this year, he was really, really inconsistent. Thought Doggies could go a long way if they get a decent key forward, you know. And just with Freya, just with Jesse Hogan, I just think we just need to draft the kids, to be honest. I think Griffin Logue could possibly swing forward, like he started out Freya as a forward. I think he's a good mark, you know. But yeah, cheers, boys.
Yeah, they've got options down there. We spoke about this a bit last night, whether it is Griffin Logue. I'm probably not sure, but you could go Brennan Cox, who started down there as well. Alex Pierce has certainly played that position in the past as well. The Bulldogs, they've got Big Norton up forward, who's still so young. And for a youngster, the contested marking that he can do is better than most at that young age. So I think he's going to be a good player. They need more out of Bruce, as you mentioned. I'm not writing off Mason Cox. A move from Collingwood across to the Western Bulldogs just yet. It's been spoken about a little bit, and I don't think it's fully dead in the water. But they've also got Tim English. Whether they go for a more established ruckman to help him out in that position, and then he could come in and play a different role where he's the second ruck and give them more flexibility in the forward line. So they've got options. There's no doubt about that, the Bulldogs, and I expect them next year. It's about time that they started to go back up the ladder towards the top four.
Marcus, any more to add?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Good on you, mate. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Phil and Natalie. G'day, Phil.
G'day, boys. Just trying to see any information about the ALE. I know we're starting in December. And also, is any talk about proposed second division? Have you heard anything what's going on with that at this stage, Carl and
Paige? Paul? Look, as in, you're talking like when you say a second division with where you have relegation and promotion. Is that what you're
correct
talking about? Look, that won't happen, mate. I think that we've been probably lucky to get to a point where we've been able to negotiate to now continue on with the A-League. Look, there's some major concerns at the moment around the Champions League and a trip to Qatar. That's certainly been something that's been spoken about today. They've expressed serious concerns about potential health and safety risks that they will be exposed to in Qatar. We're talking about Sydney FC, Melbourne Victory and Perth Glory, who are all slated to resume their group stages from mid-November, mate. So we're talking only in a couple of weeks' time.
Yep.
So there's still a number of hurdles to be jumped, I think, before that gets underway. And obviously, if that doesn't get underway under the regime that's proposed right now, mate, that could also throw into preparations the new A-League season. So I think we've got to get this part sorted out through the Football Federation of Australia and really do the negotiations with Japan and South Korea and China, who are all involved and representing the players from those particular countries as well. But, yeah, mate, I think that any of the talk about promotion and relegation, mate, is something that we're going to have to wait a while for yet.
Fair enough. And do you think that these big teams over East, like the South Melbournes and Marconis, that they can wait another couple of years to do it, Carl?
Look, I think right now, I think they're going to have to, yeah. I think that we're not ready. And look, I'm not exactly sure. I mean, those that have got big financial backers in the A-League, Perth Glory aren't one of those teams, as you would probably be well and truly aware. So as to whether our competition is in the same shape in 6 months' time, let alone 12 months' time, mate, we're really going to have to walk the walk. But, you know, hopefully everyone can work together and we can see a top-quality competition, we can keep the best players, and we're able to attract the best players. I think that what's really important is that players like Castro and others that have come from international markets are so important to the fabric of our competition, and that's what I want to see continue. And I think that's really important, mate. You know, like we can all get the best forms of the game on our devices these days. You know, you push red on your device and you can do it. You watch KO or any of the other mechanisms that we've got to watch the very best in the world go at it. Hayes, you want to add any more?
No, not really, Carl. I think you've covered it. Obviously, MacArthur coming in next year. I think it was in their plans, and a lot of the people that have been around soccer, they want the relegation system to come in, but it's not easy to do. In Australia, we've always had equalisation measures, and I think that's a good thing for sport as well, so you don't have, you know, so many contests that aren't contests, and it'll be a challenge for a team to come in for one season, two seasons, and see how they go up against some of the more established clubs. So I'm not for it, but I know it's been spoken about a fair bit. But I think everything would have been put on the back burner a little bit more, given the COVID situation around sports nowadays.
922-1882. If you'd like to put yourself in the running for the $100 Tab Touch voucher, we'll be giving it away shortly here on the program. We're not far away from getting inside the Wallabies camp. Matt Taylor, who's their defensive coach, is going to join us. For those that love their basketball too, we are going to have a chat out of 7 o'clock to Basketball Australia Chief Executive General Manager in Paul Maley. There's been a fair bit of movement there in the WNBL. They're getting underway in a hub competition. Perth Lynx signed today Kalia Steindl. She's a lady from the Joondalup Wolves. Grand final MVP in 2020 in the West Coast Classic, so she certainly played her part in that competition. And some important changes too with the news out of Essendon that Dan Richardson Hayes is no longer their general manager of football at Essendon. I found it interesting that he departs after 3 years, decided not to renew his contract, and the main reasons being that the football performance and the future direction of the football program, they didn't like it.
No, they didn't, and a new president there as well. So they've come in swinging, made some changes. They're going to lose some players as well with free agency starting tomorrow. But he's been a good man, Dan Richardson, around footy. We'll wait to see where he finishes up in the footy industry, if anywhere. But the squad's too, Carl, out for the Sheffield Shield match starting on tomorrow, is it? Yes, tomorrow.
Yep, tomorrow.
We've got Sean Marsh, Aston Agar, Bancroft, Cartwright, Gannon, Green, Guthrie, Hardy, Inglis, Kelly, Morris, Short and Whiteman. No Ashton Turner, so axed from the Sheffield Shield team. It's been a tough time for him, Carl. He burst onto the Australian scene probably only 18 months ago, but since then he's been dropped from a number of different formats, and hopefully for him he can find his touch and get back into the Sheffield Shield. Or do you think he just focuses on one format and tries to become a gun for hire in the future with many of the overseas clubs?
Well, I think that you've got to get opportunities before you can actually become a gun for hire. You've got to get some performances on the board. And I think, sadly for him, the performances, the very good performances and consistent performances that we've come to know. But look, we've seen others challenged in that squad. Cameron Bancroft is probably one that I'd like to mention who's been able to bounce back pretty quickly and earn his prized place in that side and at the top of the order. So I know Ashton will work really hard and hopefully we'll see him back in the West Australian cricket team sooner rather than later. And just lastly, before we head to a break, when it comes to the soccer, I've just seen that Melbourne Victory have signed emerging striker in Ben Falami too. So that's some big news. He's a very good underage player. We'll clear a commitment. Be back soon.
Nice to have your company here on Sports Day tonight, and we are about to get inside the Wallabies with their defence coach, Matt Taylor, who joins us here on Sports Day. Welcome, Matt.
Hi, guys. Good to be here.
Mate, you've got a young and experienced team, I suppose, with Dave Rennie, the senior coach, with an eye to the future. But the Kiwis, mate, they will be playing with no holes barred. They are shooting for an 18th straight Bledisloe Cup, mate. Can we beat them?
Oh, definitely. I think, listen, it's a tough task playing these guys. They're a good team, but I definitely think we've got the ability to do well against them as long as we make sure that our game plan works like we've tried to execute it this week.
a very good performance in Game 1 of the Bledisloe Cup where, mate, it was millimetres away from being a victory for the first time in 19 years on New Zealand soil, but it wasn't to be. And then, of course, you didn't get the result you wanted in the second game. Tackling and kicking and shutting them down and applying pressure is so important. And defensively, mate, I'm sure that that's where you were doing, working pretty hard.
Yeah, listen, I think the first game showed where you kick smartly to them, you make your tackles, you don't turn over possession, you put yourself in a pretty good spot. And then conversely, in that second test in at Eden Park, we didn't do that. We kicked loosely to them. We turned over possession, gave them all the environments that they're very good at, that unstructured, broken play type of, unstructured environment that they're really good at. So, listen, we've got to kick smartly. We've got to make our tackles and we can't turn over the ball cheaply to them.
Mate, there's been a few changes as well, and we're going to see some debutants. And firstly, the two that have made the starting 15 are 20-year-old Noah Lolasio and Irae Simone. Can you tell us a bit more about these two, mate, that we're going to see for the first time at international level?
Yeah, listen, I'll start with Noah. Noah's a great young player. He's been in our squad the whole time. He was a bit unlucky not to get on the field in the first test. And James, unfortunately, got a bit of an injury to his knee that hasn't been able to recover in time. And so he gets his opportunity, and I think he'll be a player which Australians will see a lot more over the future. So he's got a big future ahead of him. He's come into the team. Again, he's been training with us the whole time. He's been brought in to give a bit of experience and communication in the back line there. He does a great job at the Brumbies. He's done the same with the team this week. He's a great communicator and he makes the team better with him being in it. So we're looking forward to both of those guys put on a good performance on Saturday.
What about the other two, Tate McDermott and Fraser McRae? They obviously had pretty good Super Rugby seasons as well to put himself in this position.
Yep, both of them had excellent Super seasons and they've also... They've trained particularly well in our squad environment. And Dave Rennie has spoken to the squad about earning, their spot in the team. And those two guys, with their performances just within our training environment, has pushed themselves into a selection. So, again, we're hoping for a big impact off the bench from those guys, and I'm sure we'll see it.
You mentioned James O'Connor goes out with that knee. How bad, and will he be right for game four?
Yeah, listen, he was a bit of touch and go, to be honest. He'll definitely be right for game four. So, it was a bit of shame for James. But again, it gives opportunity for Noah to get his first cap. And he's such a young player, a side player. And, young players have got to start sometimes. So we're looking for a good performance from him on Saturday.
And it's game number three for the new coach, Dave Rennie. How have you enjoyed his style and what has he brought to the team so far?
Yeah, Dave's an excellent coach. He's got that New Zealand flavour or influence in terms of really good skill sets and wanting to play attacking rugby. He's also, had a touch of European rugby. So, the structures and the kicking kind of game, he's had a little bit of influence from Europe. So, no, it's been great. We've got a good coaching crew there with Jeff Parling and Scott Wiseman, which we've all had our different experiences. Dave's also really good around the cultural part of the team, like including the team in certain things. We've had a lot of sing songs and from different cultures and blending into one. So it's been a happy camp and it's been a good 5 or 6 weeks together so far.
Speaking of Europe, mate, more recently you had spent your time over in Scotland. Were you glad that you made the decision to come back to Australia in 2019 ahead of what's broken out?
Yeah, listen,
timing is everything sometimes, Matt.
Yeah. Oh, listen, I mean, no one kind of could plan for something like this. And no. I'd had 8 great years with Scotland, 2 World Cups and with Glasgow Warriors. So the time was right for me to come back. It's a great honour for me to coach with the Wallabies. It's a team which I supported as a child and grew up supporting them. So to be able to coach them now is, really exciting for me and one I'm looking forward to over the next couple of years and into the World Cup. So, it's been great to be back, particularly for the weather. And I'm on the Gold Coast, which is a nice place to be and live. So,
Yeah, now do we know what structure the new Super Rugby competition is going to be like? I mean, all our Western Force, mate, just keeps on naming players over here, mate. We've got players day after day after day being named here. Tim Ansey was the bloke that was named yesterday. Are we likely to see a five-team cross-Tasman competition? Is that what you reckon?
Yeah, well, listen, I think that's what I'm hearing. So I don't know the exact ins and outs, but it's great that the Force will be involved. And I know the coach, Timmy Sampson, very well. He's an excellent coach and a great guy. And it's great to see that, you know, the Western Force are doing a good job this year. And I'm sure they're going to be bigger and better next year and moving ahead. So, no, it's exciting. You know, I really like Perth as a place. And it's great that rugby's still got a foothold over there as well.
Dane Hullett-Petty recalled at fullback replacing Tom Banks. What was the thought process around that move?
Yeah, so Dane, we feel, is, you know, a world-class player at 15. You know, he's got a lot of experience and, you know, a lot of presence within the squad, and he's got a lot of experience as well. So he's come back from injury. He last 2 weeks he's trained really well, and we want to give him that opportunity to impress, and so he's got the nod this week. And so again, I think with him in the team, it's going to make us stronger in many areas as well. So it's exciting. He's a good presence within the squad and has a lot of experience at international level.
What will be exciting if you win this one and make it one all going into the fourth? That would be unbelievable for Australian rugby given the circumstances in recent times.
Yeah, no, it would. I mean, we're very focused on getting the job done, and it's always tough playing the All Blacks, but we feel that we've trained really well and we're in a pretty good position, and it'd be great to get a good win this weekend and lead us into the last game, at Suncorp, which we play normally really well there, so it'd be great.
Good luck, Matt. We'll be tuned in here in Perth, mate. Thanks very much for your time. Take care.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Wallabies defence coach Matt Taylor here on Sports Day, and a couple of debutants. Due to be exciting, Hayes. You'd remember your debut, wouldn't you? Noah Lolesio and Irae Simone, and they'll be in the starting 15. And you've got Fraser McWright and also Tate McDermott, who'll be in the squad of 23 starting on the bench.
I'd be unbelievable, Carl, if they could get this one. Imagine the build up to the next game. Haven't won this since 2003, the Bledisloe Cup, and to make it one all. And only just missed that first game away would have been a great start. But they need this. I think Australian rugby needs a Bledisloe Cup win because it has been so one-sided for so long and will just boost our confidence going towards the next World Cup.
Great to have your company here on Sports Day. We'll clear a commitment on the other side. We'll tell you what's coming up after the 7 o'clock news next here on Sport. Welcome back to Sports Day. Nice to have Paul Maley joining us off the top of the hour. Basketball Australia Executive GM. Welcome, Paul. How are you, mate?
Very well, thanks. Great to be joining you fellas out in the Wild West there.
Yeah, now, well, our team is going to have to spend some time on the East Coast. We're pretty used to it over here in Western Australia, Paul, with our teams heading over to the East Coast to play in hubs, but it's something that you are going to have to endure.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the first is, I guess, we're super excited because, obviously, as with a lot of sporting leagues, you know, just to be able to get a season up and running during these challenging times has been a massive exercise. And we're extremely grateful to the state government of Queensland to having lent support sufficient for us to actually run a hub season. And it would have been a great shame. It is the 41st consecutive WNBL season. It's the longest running women's professional league in Australia and recognized around the world as one of the probably two or three best leagues in the world. So for us, this is, we're extremely pleased.
It's so important, but you need to be applauded too, Basketball Australia, for making this season happen. Can you take us through the last couple of months, and did it ever come close to not eventuating?
Yes, I can say now it did, definitely. You know, the idea of a hub actually didn't really start to take root until around early July, because, of course, that was around the time when, we had a bit of a second wave here in Victoria. Well, not a bit of a second wave, obviously, but and border closures resumed, and all of a sudden all of the many season models that we were working with were, you know, thrown into serious risk. So we started to consider a hub. And what's been really pleasing is along the way, the relationship between the WNBL and Basketball Australia and the 8-member clubs has been absolutely fantastic. So it really has been a huge collaboration. But yeah, there were some very nervous times around early August when we thought it might not come together.
So you
were relieved.
Yeah, sorry to cut you off, but with that support of Queensland and Cairns and Mackay and Townsville and the councils, the local governments there, the 60 games inside 6 weeks from November 11 to December 20th, was that really important to get it done in that period of time and finish it just prior to Christmas for you to maximise the, well, not only the impact that the game is going to have, but reduce your costs?
Yeah, it was. We actually had two possible windows, right, for us and the clubs. We could have done it where we've landed, the 2 months prior to Christmas, or January, February. But in the end, for the Queensland state government, for them, the November-December period was deemed to be far preferable, and for a number of reasons. And so that being the case, you know, we, as I said, we had the support of all the clubs. We also had the support of our broadcast partners who will be announced tomorrow, which is more fantastic news for us. But
give us a hint.
I cannot do. I will say that it's
we won't tell anyone.
Ever, it's the best. Of course not. It's the best ever deal in the league's history. This is the greatest amount of visibility we will have ever achieved. So really excited. The number of games per week, as everyone will learn tomorrow, that will be live on television as well as all games live streamed is going to be, yeah, as I said, by far and away the best visibility we've ever had.
That is exciting. What about some of the big names and the depth of talent across the competition? Is that going to be there this season?
We've got, some of the best players in the world. Liz Cambage is joining us. Got players returning from the WNBA. You know, really, obviously the Opals are preparing for Tokyo. And so this WNBL season is critical on the high performance front as well from a national team's perspective. The depth is well and truly there. There are not many players. In fact, you can count them on one hand who will be missing from the competition.
Do you see this as a great opportunity to showcase the talent here in Australia with the basketball competition? I've felt probably in the last 10 years it might have fallen behind some of the other sports, but to be on free-to-air or broadcast, as you're going to announce tomorrow, a great time for everybody around the country to tune in and watch and hopefully, you know, get basketball back to where it belongs.
Yeah, couldn't agree more, and thank you. It's a great lead-in question. You know, it is a... It's a bit of a frustration, really, because, you know, and with no disrespect to other sports, but, you know, what Australians need to understand and appreciate and will appreciate, I think, the more visibility that we have is that what we're showcasing are some of the world's best athletes in the either largest or second largest team sport in the world. In other words, Australia is batting so far above our weight in terms of, you know, world standings. We are number two in the world in one of the most competitive sports in the world. So the women running around are truly globally elite. You know, they are some of the best talent in the world in the biggest pond going around, right? You just don't, it's not as if we're dealing with some niche sport that, you know, only a few handful of countries play. It's the biggest stage and we've got some of the best players in the world. So it's an opportunity for everybody to see some unbelievably high standard basketball.
Now, mate, when we have a look at the way that we've seen the West Australian environment develop over here and with our Perth Wildcats being the benchmark team of the competition, not going to be a situation that we're not going to like having games not played here. How are you going with negotiations to actually have some basketball played here in Western Australia? Because, mate, we need our Red Army to get along and support this game.
Yeah, well, I mean, as I said, the broadcast will certainly help in terms of making it available. But, yeah, obviously...
We've got no virus over here, Paul.
I know. We just need to get the government to open the borders. That's the only thing that needs to happen, and we're okay. But what happens over there in Perth is amazing. You know, it is great the way the community gets behind the Wildcats in particular, and we're starting to get behind the Lynx the last few years as well. They obviously love their basketball, so it's an educated population. We like that. What we need is that sort of support across the country, because as you pointed out, I mean, the standard of basketball it's just unbelievably high.
Mm. So when are we likely to get some sort of an idea, or when are you likely to get some sort of an idea as to whether things will progress the way that you need them to progress?
So you're asking me to have the crystal ball that nobody else has. I don't really know the answer to that question.
When would you need, say, some clearance from our side of the country, which hasn't been forthcoming to a lot of other sports, which is why you've got a hub being played over there in North Queensland. When would you need sort of to have some of the answers that are required to enable what we would call normal?
Well, I mean, look, our first shot at normal will be for 2021, right? So we really do need some, you know, the sooner the better, so that we can start planning a normal season for 2021. Mm. And look, all clubs clearly want the ability to play in front of home crowds and generate ticket revenue and build audiences, et cetera. So we're like every other code in terms of hoping that, you know, there are no travel restrictions, because from the point of view of the WNBL, we certainly want that. But from the point of view of international matches, you know, being able to bring the Boomers and the Ovals to town in Perth, as we did prior to the Boomers versus USA game series, you know, that was with Canada. All those opportunities, we love playing in front of Perth crowds, because people get behind it.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Paul, thank you very much for sharing a few minutes with us. You sure you can't tell us what that broadcast agreement is? I just tried Googling too while I was talking to you to see if I could find anything, but you got your cards close to your chest. There's nothing.
Oh, but I've told you everything. It's the best deal we've ever had.
Yeah, I just wondered where I have to tune in to get it. I'll be able to get it on KO, won't I?
Well, yeah, you'll find out tomorrow, but, it's going to be very available.
Good on you, mate. Thanks for your time. Excellent. Take care.
Thank you, guys.
Paul Maley, Basketball Australia Executive GM. Gee, Hayes, he wouldn't give that away, would he?
No, hopefully it's a combination of free-to-air and KO and Fox Sports as well. But it's a big opportunity right now for Basketball Australia and the WNBL. I've just felt in the last couple of years it's fallen behind some of the other sports. Netball, AFLW has come along in the last 4 years and taken a bit of market share, and we've seen some cross-coding. But he's right. The Opals are a fantastic team. It's one of the biggest sports in the world. And I just feel, even here in Perth, with the explosion of the Wildcats over the last 3 to 5 years, again, the Perth Lynx probably haven't had that same support. Now is the time, and if you love your basketball, get behind this competition.
I think too, though, and now that we are heading towards an Olympic year with the Opals and the Boomers, mate, it's going to be another important 12 months as we lead up to the Olympic Games that are going to be held, hopefully, at around this time, slightly earlier, in Japan next year. So important, and we would love to hear your input. Go to @SportsDayWA to have your say. We'll come back and get into a chat with Daniel Pratt next. He is the new West Coast Eagles women's coach. He'll be next here on Welcome back to Sports Day, giant performance of the day. We are hoping a giant performance of the year from the West Coast Eagles women's team for Giant Bicycles. We're still riding with you, and they've got a new coach. He's very familiar to West Coast Eagles fans, but he goes from having some really important input to the men's team to now taking over as head coach of the women's team. And we're talking about Daniel Pratt, who joins us here on Sports Day. Welcome, Pratty. Nice to talk to you, mate.
Hey, good to talk to you, fellas.
Now, how much interaction have you had with the girls up to this point, mate? I know that the girls have been sharing the same headquarters since they came into fruition at the West Coast Eagles there.
Yeah, there hasn't been a lot of interaction personally, but over the last year and a half that we've had the women's program, we've crossed paths a lot, and their enthusiasm and energy has definitely been something that everyone in the men's program picked up on. So I'm really looking forward to getting involved with them.
Praddy, congratulations. What have you heard about the differences between coaching men and women?
I've spoken to a few people. Actually, fortunate, I've got my old man who's coached women for the last few years in Country Victoria, and he just keeps talking about the energy that they bring no matter what. So he was trying to, I think during the COVID period in Victoria, the girls still wanted to train, and he had to pull the reins up on a few of them there because they were that keen to get going. So it's probably just finding that balance, how we can maximise that enthusiasm and bring that game day and not, you know, use all that energy up during the week. So that's, you know, probably the main point that people have, you know, passed on to me over the last couple of days.
And you've got a few assistant coaches to lean on. Michelle Cowan, who's been there, done that before, she'll support you. Ryan Turnbull, who's been fantastic for the women's program. Andrew DiLoreto and Joe Beachy. You're happy with your coaching group?
Yeah, very happy. I've still got to speak to Joe, but the rest, I've spoken to the rest of them, and they're keen as mustard to get started. They've all now had experience with women's football, in particular Michelle. So she's going to be great support for me, especially over the coming months. And Andrew as well, who's been involved in women's football for, you know, a number of years now. So I've got those guys to lean on. And we've also got Brady Gray, who he's been new coach in midfield last year, which, you know, it'll be great having him on again.
He loves it. He was down there at Fremantle when I started out with the Fremantle Dockers. Very good coach, and I think in time he's going to end up in a good position. But how important is this role for your progression as a coach? You've been in development, defence, stoppages coach as well, and we saw today Sam Mitchell is going to coach in his own right, the Box Hill Hawks. It is important to get that opportunity.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of people have called me or messaged me in the last few days and congratulated me on the role, and they're people who I, you know, respect their opinion, and all of them have mentioned about the continuation of everyone's journey as a coach. You can't get stuck in the same position for too long unless you're an expert in that, and you know, this is another great opportunity for me to continue to develop and learn. You know, I've done most roles except coach my own team, so to be able to you know, do that at West Coast under, you know, a lot of people I already know and get support from, it's a really good opportunity. And, you know, obviously Shimo is one of my good mates, along with coaching with him over the last 6 or 7 years. He'll be someone I can lean on in that space as well. So got really good support around, and I'm really looking forward to rounding myself off as a coach even further than where I'm currently at.
Praddy, how are you going with the border controls and your Irish contingent? Because you had the Kelly sisters last year. I understand you've got another one potentially coming across from Ireland. Is that going to be okay?
I think so. They messaged me yesterday, and I think they get in the next few days. I actually need to speak to Adam Selwood about a few things, and that's one of them, is about when those girls get in. So, I'm looking forward. I saw them a bit around the place in Scarborough last year, just in and out of the shopping centre, and they're quite a funny girl. So I'm looking forward to working with them, and they're great talents as well. Had some real impact on a few of our games last year.
They did. I thought they improved across the season. What about Andrea Gilmore? Tell us more about her, former Perth Oriole.
Yeah, well, we've got a number of people from a number of girls from different sports and different clubs. So I still need to get my head around the list as a whole. I know that's a trick question, so I'm not going to give you a straight answer on it. But I've got a lot of work to do in the next probably 3 or 4 days to get my head around the playing list. I've messaged a lot of the girls as they've found out in the last couple of days as well. They've messaged me, so I need to watch some games. I did watch as a spectator last year, watched all the games, and I thought the effort and energy that they brought and, you know, intent to work for each other was really good. So we've got a lot of things to work with that sometimes you don't get at other clubs that I've been involved with over the journey. So turn up and want to have a crack, then, you know, you're halfway there. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Good run with injuries would help too. Had a few last year. Brianna Green, another player that hopefully gets some luck, and Jans in the ruck, injured as well last year. So if we can get them all out on the park and the benefit of their first pre-season, it's got to help.
Yeah. Well, we've got, I think there's probably half our list have only been involved in one season of AFL Women's, and it's been going for a few years now. So with the experience we do have in a couple of other players, the growth we might get in the next 12, 24 months with these girls playing over 20 to 30 games of footy will really help. So hopefully the learnings that they got from last year and then the continual development will help us be really competitive this year.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for joining us, mate. Good luck. Take care. Enjoy the rest of your break if you're having one, mate, and we'll have a chat to you again soon. Cheers.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks, boys. Have a good one.
Good on you. Daniel Pratt, West Coast Eagles women's coach. New challenge for him for Giant Bicycles. We're still riding with you. Stay with us here on Sports Day. James Broadhurst with all of the chasing thanks to Greyhounds WA next. Welcome back to Sports Day. James Broadhurst joins us here and the chase final at Mandurah this Friday thanks to Greyhounds WA. Welcome, James. How are you, mate?
Good to be with you guys. Yeah, chase, very good race over the 405 metre journey down there at Mandurah on Friday. Good start to the weekend with some wonderful chasing. That this is some very competitive heats, and we've got a very nice final here. Hard to tip who I like here. Possibly the fastest qualifier, Steve Minnelli, which came back from a three-month break and performed very well in his heat. Buster the Brute is another big name and a big race chaser that goes around here. A couple of other of the heat winners, Sunset Kodiak, also Turbo Fun, set to play a role. But this is a really nice race down there at Mandurah on Friday.
Now, JB, you know that I love a good buffet, and there's a Halloween buffet going on this Friday and Saturday. I can come twice, can I?
Yeah, this is a bit of fun, this one. You certainly can. You're more than welcome. Halloween themed buffets down there, Mandurah tomorrow night and also Cannington Saturday night. A little bit spooky, but I can assure you it'll all be edible and a good fun. So bring the kids along for some Halloween themed food over the next couple of nights.
And still every Tuesday and Wednesday, the $25 Palmy Pint and on the pun, of course, down there at Greyhounds WA. Let's talk about your best bets. We'll start at Mandurah. You've got a special for us.
Yeah, indeed. For tomorrow night for the Mandurah track, heading towards race three, the dog jumping out of the lemon and box five, Tinsel Doll. This is a greyhound that's been really improved since she's come under the tutelage of trainer Damien Credelli. Ran second to Sunset Spitfire, which I think we highlighted last week is going to be an absolute superstar. So I certainly noticed Grace Tinsel Doll running second to Sunset Spitfire. Two wins prior to that in very good time. Does come up in grade here, Tinsel Doll, and does have this tricky draw, the squeeze draw here, but has early speed, and I'm backing her to get back in the winner's circle down there tomorrow night.
All right, what about Cannington?
Cannington, yeah, looking for hopefully what's going to be a bit of value here as we look towards Saturday night. So yeah, we're looking at race five, the dog jumping out of box six. This is a pretty competitive novice race. And so novices are, up and coming young greyhounds. And this is a pretty deep one. Rapido Lass came back from a spell last start and hit a pretty torrid run, must be said, hit some interference. But what I did like about the run is she recovered from that and finished off well. Showed just enough to me to suggest that she's worth looking at again this week. She's quite a talented chaser. Can jump, doesn't necessarily need to jump to win this race, but if she does happen to find the lead early, she'll be off and gone. So that's race five, number six, Rapido Lass at Cannington.
Beautiful, James. Thank you very much for your time tonight. Take care, mate, and we'll have a chat to you next Thursday.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
James Broadhurst there from Greyhounds WA. All right, Hayes, let's get on to our chase for charity. Thanks to Greyhounds WA. Which way are you betting this week?
$25 on Tinsel Doll. Best bet for JB there. Race three at Mandurah tomorrow night. And Cannington, race five, number six. Rapido Lass, 25 wins as well.
All right, I am going to the lucky last, and that is at Mandurah tomorrow night. It's race 11. It's over 405 metres. It's thanks to the $25 Palmy Pint and Punt, which is what you were just talking about with all that food. Minnie's Minnelli Hayes from the Hobby Kennel. I'm going to go 25 each way on Minnie's Minnelli. Let's hope that we can get some chocolates, thanks to Greyhounds WA, in our fight against motor neurone disease as we get the latest odds from Tab Touch's David Short. Welcome, Shorty. How are you?
Thanks very much, Carl. Yeah, absolutely tremendous racing to look forward to over the next 5 or 6 days. The Flemington Carnival with Derby Day just around the corner, Melbourne Cup Day, the Oaks. It's all ahead of us. Can't wait for it.
Yeah, it's an exciting day at Flemington, mate, and every single race is a group race. But let's have a look at the group ones that start at race 5 and continue for the next few. The Empire Rose, how's the market looking?
Yeah, pretty open market. Odium at $3.60 with Mystic Journey on the second line at $4.20. There's a big gap then out to Madame Rouge at $12, Felicia $13, and Charlotte at $13. But Odium and Mystic Journey, the two the punters have landed on there for the Empire Rose. And the Group 1, Coolmore, again, quite an open affair. September run, our $4 favourite. Farnan at $5.50, while Ruler at $6.50, $8.50 about. What's that? On to race 7, the feature of the day, the Group 1 Amy Victoria Derby over the 2,500 metres. Interesting the way that this market has developed through the week. Young Werther opened up as their $3 favourite. Now out to $4. The money's been really strong for Cherry Tortoni. 6 into $4.20, really well backed. Alvarado on the third line, 8 into $7. Hit the Shot 7 and Firm at that quote. Let's Crack a Deal is 7 out to 10. It's 13 and upwards the rest. But the support's been really, really strong for Cherry Tortoni in the feature. Boys, which way are you going in the Derby?
Oh, I am going to go with the one that got scratched, Young Werther, for me, mate. I reckon the conditions certainly weren't going to favour it. And I think it's a horse with, I don't know what the weather's looking like, Shorty, but what we do know is if it's wet, then Cherry Tortini's going to be right in the play. But Young Werther for me.
Young Werther for me too, Shorty.
Wild Planet, mate, is the horse that Willie Pike's going to be riding in the big Kennedy Cantala. What's the market looking like?
Yeah, there's been money for that galloper as well, Carl. 16 into 11, so plenty of the West Aussies looking to team up with William Pike with Wild Planet in the Group 1 Cantala. Mr. Quickie's our $5 favourite there, in from $5.50. Buffalo River, a little easy, but certainly in with excellent claims, I thought. 5 out to $6.50. Rocks there at $10 and 50 stars and $11 chance. But one wonderful Group 1 racing from top to tail there at Flemington on Saturday.
All right, let's move to Rose Hill. Let's take a look at the big race there, the Golden Eagle. There's some beauties here, the four-year-olds, and a couple of West Aussies, some good chances there too.
Yeah, big time, Hayes. Some serious coin up for grabs too. $7.5 million schmackers in prize money for this race. Funstar, the favourite at $4.80. Firm at that quote. Colette on the second line will be really strong over the concluding stages of 1,500 metres. The money's been good, 9 into 6. Alligator Blood, 6 out to 7. Sierra Sue, 12 into $9.50. The West Aussies involved. Superstorm's been 17 into $15. And Windstorm's gone the other way, 23 out to $26.
Beautiful, mate. Thank you very much for joining us tonight here on Sports Day. It's going to be a huge weekend. What's your tip for the Melbourne Cup? Hopefully we'll get you on Monday, actually. We need to get the latest betting markets on Monday. But what are you looking at right now as the favourite?
I'm very keen, Tiger Moth, boys. I've been backing this in multis for about the last 6 weeks. So I'm chips in with Tiger Moth, hoping for a very nice result in this year's Melbourne Cup.
All right, beautiful, mate. Thanks very much for joining us tonight. We'll talk to you Monday.
Cheers, fellas.
David Short there from Tab Touch. Make sure that you do get into your local betting agency. Download the app. Tabtouch.com.au is also where you can place a bet, but please gamble responsibly. We'll clear a commitment, and on the other side, we'll be joined by Leyland Campbell for all the fishing and camping, thanks to Parkside Toba. Welcome back to Sports Day. Mark LeCraft for fishing and camping normally, but it's his son's birthday today, and he's having a party tonight, so we've got a more than capable man off the bench from Wreckfish West. His name is Leyland Campbell. He is the operations manager, and he joined us. Welcome, mate.
Thanks, Carl. Thanks, Hayes. How are you going?
Yeah, we're going really well, and you join us thanks to Parkside Tow Bars. They've got a huge spring sale on, a catalogue which is on right now in-store and online. We're encouraging everyone at the moment to travel around our beautiful state of Western Australia, and we love holidays near water here in WA. And one great part about our coastline, mate, is in more recent times, thanks to the recreational fishing fund that we have established here in WA, is that we've got more reefs that are being poured into the ocean, so to speak. Tell our audience about that.
Oh, these are great. Every time we ask people where they want to spend their, where they want their rec license money spent, they say, give us more places to fish and more fish to catch. So we've been investing in artificial reefs for a while now. We've managed to put some in Dunsborough, Bunbury, Esperance, Exmouth, and the long-awaited Ocean Reef Marina has now had all the approvals, and that's going to be deployed in early 2021. So that'll be really good. Located 7 km from Ocean Reef, in water about 27 metres deep. It will be made up of about 300 modules that are all about 1.8 metres tall, concrete modules, and that'll be spread over an area equivalent to Fort Optus Stadium. So there'll be plenty of room for everyone to get out there and have a fish. So that's
four
really
Optus
good.
Stadiums. The size of four Optus stadiums.
The playing surface doesn't take into account everything else, but it's a good size. So you can fit quite a few boats over there. And I think that'll provide so many good opportunities. It'll be little cray stadiums.
Yeah, so just on that point, so we've got it the size of four of the fields of Optus Stadium, 7 km from Ocean Reef, in 27 metres of water. How tall are these 300 modules that are going to be put into the ocean? How big are they? And or are they going to be piled up to create some homes for fish that live under the sea?
Now, it's a good question. What we've found is that you don't need them to be very tall. It's these low-relief structures tend to actually produce quite well. And you see it on a sounder. You'll go over and you'll find a little bump and you go, oh, give it a shot, and then you're amazed at how productive it is. So these modules are actually reasonable. They'll be around about 1.8 metres, I think, is the tallest of them. They are the... I forget what they're called, but a round thimble-looking thing with holes cut into it and a big cavern in the middle where the bigger fish can sit. Then there's some smaller ones which might come up a metre tall and some in between. So I think all up there's about four different designs, and it's all about creating a wider variety of habitat types. So we get this complex habitat structure which allows a little environmental niche for a whole range of animals in there. So we did ask people when this first came out what sort of animals they wanted. Do they want to catch more of the same demersal fish that they go out for, or do they want to try and catch some pelagic fish and try to attract some yellowtail kings or something in there? And everyone was saying, give us more of the low relief structure to catch our demersal fish, our bottom fish, because that's what we want. So that's what we've done. We've gone out there, and 300 modules should be really, really good. So that will be in the water in the first... I think we're looking at early 2021, February, March, somewhere like that. But if you're not from Ocean Reef, and if you're actually from Carnarvon, don't worry, because you're getting a reef on the way too, and your first modules are being poured as we speak, and that is due to go in the water in the first half of 2021. But if you're not from Ocean Reef or Carnarvon, and you're actually from Albany, don't despair, because we're about to start talking to your community about a shallow water reef that is going into your area soon. So they're the next ones, and then after that, who knows where reefs are going. Is it Cowbarry? We've had that community ask us for a reef for a long time. Is it Broome? Is it any number of other areas? So a lot happening in the artificial reef space. They're really, really good, and I think it's just creating more opportunities for people.
Yeah, sounds like you're pretty busy. What about fads? More fads coming our way too.
These are not a passing fad at all. This is really exciting. Everyone loves the fads. We've got a statewide trial of fads at the moment, and we've tried them in a few other areas. We've adapted what the Perth Game Fishing Club has been doing for numerous years. In decades, they've had fads out of west of Rottnest, and we have got to put some more up. We've had Mike and Aaron from the office today out there rigging up the fads. So the metropolitan fads due to be deployed during the first good weather window after the second week in November. So they'll go in there, and we're going to put some Geraldton fads in as well. So we've got four fads going in Geraldton, which is been added to our trial, and they will hopefully go in the same weather window after the second week in November. And the Albany and the Cape Spads that we had in there, we started these out last year as a trial, and they were really, I think, the surprise packet. You know, we were getting dolphin fish off Albany holding up on these things, and it was great. So they are due to be deployed in the first week of December. So fads, it's going to be great. Just in time for everyone's favourite Christmas fishing.
I've got a couple of my producers looking at me a little bit strange. They don't understand what a fad is. Can you explain it to our listeners how they work?
The fad is a fish aggregation device. It's basically a big float. It sits in the water. It's anchored to the ocean floor. And the ocean, especially for pelagic fish, is pretty boring. You're swimming along, there's not much in there. And when you've got some structure, then fish are attracted to it and they will come around. And everyone with a boat knows when they see something floating on the water, they go over, have a look. And if you're in the right place, the right time of the year, yeah, you might get a dolly or a dolphin fish swimming around it, or cobia or something else. So these fads attract the small bait fish, which in turn attract the larger fish. The larger fish tend to stay and hold on these things longer. So instead of searching the ocean endlessly for hours, it gives you a really good starting point to go out there and throw a few lures around and see what you can pick up. So they've been used for generations all around the place in various forms. But these are really good ones. We put them out there at the right time of year. We'll take them, retrieve them just at the end of autumn so that they don't break off in the winter storms, tidy them up, make sure all the rigging works, and put them back out again. We've got little trackers on them so we can tell wherever they are. If they break off, we send someone out to go and pick them up and, you know, change the design and make it better and better. When the Perth Game Fishing Club first started, they were losing lots of fads, and in the decades that followed, now it's rare that they actually lose one because they've actually refined the design so well. So, no, these are great things. Fads are great. It's a small little thing, but it makes such a difference to the quality of fishing that it provides.
Yeah, it does. The interesting part is, though, in more recent times, it's been affected by the divers, because the fishers who like to go out from game fishing clubs have encountered divers. And you know what the rules are when there's divers in the water, when you're throwing your lures around. Anyway, I won't get into the politics on that right now. I'll save that for another time.
I have a solution for that, Carl.
How do we do that?
More fads. More fads for everyone.
Oh, right. So
you
they have
a
diving fad.
You get a
okay.
Fad. Everyone gets a fad.
Righto. So you give them their own fad and let them go and dive on that fad and keep them off our fishing fads.
No, no,
can you
no.
organise that for me?
I give everyone more fads. We put so many fads in there that there's fads for everyone. It doesn't matter. If someone's on a diving on a fad, you go to the next one. If someone's fishing on a fad, the divers bugger off and go to the next one. We resolve conflict by putting more opportunity in there.
Right, I like your style. Now, lastly, before we let you go, craze, and more craze. I'm hearing from the scientists at the Fisheries Department that we are in for a bumper season, and I can tell you the Christmas trees are already flowering, which means on about the 15th of November and just after, the craze are going to be ready to just run themselves into our cray pots.
No, I knew you'd be excited by craze. Yep. It's you and the other 50,000 people who take out a license each year. We're looking at an early season run coming through. We're already hearing reports, and my Facebook page is getting filled with pictures of pots and divers coming up. I was talking to a friend of mine who went diving this morning. He said they're still holding up at the back of the ledges, so we've still got a little bit of time. The fishery scientists said the pluralist count, so that's the early life stage of the lobster. When the lobster releases its eggs, these things called pluralists develop and they settle on a little egg collector. The scientists count them, and that gives them a really good indication of what the population will be like in 4 years' time, because that's how long it takes to grow to legal size. Well, back in 2016, the pluralist count was through the roof, so that was bodes very, very well for this year's numbers. And the fishery scientist is expecting heaps of crays around, a cray bonanza. So if you haven't tried it before, you're not going to find a better year than now to get out there and nab yourself a few.
Nah, beautiful, mate. Good on you. Thank you very much for your time tonight. Really appreciate it, buddy. Take care, and I'll have a chat to you again very soon. Keep up the good work.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Good on you, Leyland Campbell there, the operations manager at Wreckfish West, Parkside Tow Bars. Biggest range of tow bars and more. The spring sale is on right now. Matty Conder and his team do a great job. If you need toilets or all the other accessories, they have them all at Parkside Tow Bars. ParksideTowBars.com.au for all of the details. We'll clear a commitment. We'll come back and tell you what happened on this day for Barra and O'Day. And we finish off with Barra and O'Day's Green to Green, Barra and O'Day, because the little things are everything, Hayes.
Well, on this day, Carl, in 2018, the Golden State shooting guard Klay Thompson breaks the NBA record previously held by his teammate Stephen Curry for the most three-pointers in a game with 14, would you believe, in the Warriors' 149-124 win over the Bulls in Chicago. What a game.
Now, there's so many birthdays today, Hayes. Eddie McGuire's birthday today is 56, Australian TV and radio presenter. Of course, he is president of the Collingwood Football Club. Hayes, a millionaire! He's done that from 1999, in fact. Who wants to be a millionaire? And in August 2017, he returned to the Footy Show to co-host after the program experienced falling ratings at the end of 2019. Andrew Ettinghausen, 55 today, Australian rugby league player, ET, captained the Cronulla Sharks. He joined the club in 1983, retired at the end of season 2000. That's a long, long playing record. He played a club record 328 games. And he also scored the most tries for Cronulla, which is 165. And he has had 20 years presenting his fishing show, which was good off the back of having a chat to Leyland Campbell. Fishing with ET. It's called Escape with ET, which is currently on TV. Also celebrating their birthdays today are Greg Blewett. He's 49, Australian Test cricketer. He's now a commentator. He scored centuries in each of his first two tests. He joined Bill Ponsford and Doug Walters as the only Australians ever to achieve that feat. He's also involved with Steve Waugh in amassing one of the all-time highest partnerships in Test history in combining to add 385 in Johannesburg in 1997. He captained South Australia to their 1998 Mercantile Cup win. Matthew Hayden, born on this day in Kingaroy in Queensland. He's a keen fisher too, Hayes. It's a big fishing theme tonight. He was born in 1971. He's 49 today. He achieved the record for the highest scores by an Australian batsman in the tests, 380, and previously held the record for one-day internationals, 181 not out. In 2003, he briefly held, and I say briefly, he briefly held the test record of 380 runs, beating the 375 runs record held by Brian Lara. And in 2001, he made 203 for Australia versus India. He also happened to fall on his wife's birthday, Kelly, 26th birthday. And Michael Vaughan, born on this day in Manchester in England, Hayes. He's 46 today, English cricketer, captain of England from 2003 to 2008. He was ranked the best batsman in the world following his 2002-3 Ashes series, in which he scored a remarkable 633 runs. And in 2005, he led England to their first Ashes win. Barron O'Day, don't miss out on the little moments because the little things are everything. Tomorrow from 6, we'll have a chat to Mike Ellis. We'll also have a chat to the great Dennis Pagan here on Sports Day.